Bathshulamite. I want to completely punt out of everything and talk about Song of Solomon. The Lord showed me something about this little girl. I see Psalms, hymns, Proverbs, no. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That's a verse. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. I'm just a terrible speller. I mean, I don't even, they just made us memorize words when I was a kid. They didn't know phonics from Adam. I did try to do phonics when Dave was in kindergarten, but anyway, I was pretty old and hard to teach old dog things. But anyway, I had to just memorize. One day, I was Talisha's son was up here playing the drums. He had a friend from DB with him, and he was at, Jermall asked a question or something, and I was going to give him the answer, but I couldn't. It was about like a key or something. And I said, ABC. I started doing the ABCs to know what came. ABCDEFG. I was just going through them to know what came next. And the little kid from school turned to Jermall and said, well, bless her heart, she doesn't even know her alphabet. I'll never forget that. I didn't say a word. I just cracked up on the inside. I was like, bless it. You know how in Tennessee you go, oh, well, bless it. She didn't know her alphabet. Oh, well, bless it. Song of Solomon 6:13. It's talking about the Shulamite. And 6:13. I'm more off than I thought I was. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look on you. What would you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the dance of two camps. And so that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this dance of double camps. And give you some scriptures about it and just introduce it a little bit. What will you see in the Shulamite? First of all, I'm going to talk about Shulamite. The word Shulamite is from Shalom, which means peaceful. But it has a definite article that always goes in front of it that makes it a pet name. Like if you are going to give somebody a pet name, like I was going to give Beth a pet name and say, my sweetie. I mean, it has that definite article like the peaceful. Just think about the people you've given. I've given pet names to all kinds of people. I knew I was getting really dull in my spirit when I quit giving people nicknames. Because I always gave people nicknames. My mother and daddy called each other Skeeter and Bugsy. And as kids, we could never figure out who was Skeeter and who was Bugsy. That was one of the things we always were trying to figure out about our parents, Skeeter and Bugsy. My peaceful. The way the article is in front of that word all the time means that that is a pet name. It's a pet name. It's a derivative of peaceful. And anyway, looking at the idea of two camps, the dance of Mahanaim, or the dance of two camps, we'll start where it starts in the scripture. Genesis 32:2. And then we'll just go through the scripture and talk about the various shades of what this means. In Genesis 32:2, it says, Jacob passed over the brook of Jabbok, and the angels of God met him. Genesis 32:2. When somebody read that, has a Bible since I took Judy's and she took Julie's. Mahanaim. Nahanaim, when he crossed over, he saw the angels, and he said, this is God's army, God's camp. The angels of God met him. Well, he's coming home, and he's coming home with a camp. He actually divides his camp into two camps because he was trying to outsmart Esau and end up with something if Esau took all of his stuff. Esau had a camp too. And so the dance of Mahanaim is a dance of two camps, but there's a double meaning to it. One meaning that some commentators have is that it was a dance of victory when the camps of Jacob reconciled with the camps of Esau. That the dance of Mahanaim is the actual victory dance of reconciliation. Yes, Genesis 32 too. That it is a dance of victory at the reconciliation of two camps. That's one meaning of it, one way you can look at it. There's another meaning or another way of looking at the way I've always looked at it. I never thought about the reconciliation of Jacob and Esau and those two camps reconciling and the dance of victory that would have come forth and risen up when that happened. What would that have been like? Oh my goodness. An old thing had been way put out of the way and they were dancing. Is a testimony in the dance of victory is how Mahanaim is viewed. It's a dance of testimony. It's a dance of testimony and victory. In Exodus 15:20, they came through the Red Sea, and when they did, Miriam took a tambourine, and she went out dancing and singing, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. And that was a dance of victory. A dance of victory. 1 Samuel 18:6. David comes back from slaughter of the Philistines. He's coming back into town and the women come out singing. And they come out dancing. And they're singing, David has slain his thousands. No, Saul has slain his thousands. David has 10,000s. That was not a good song. That was a victory song with a kiss of death. So anyway, there was this dance of victory in the life of David. In Song of Solomon 6:13, when it's calling forth for the Shulamite, the scripture says, turn, return, return. Now let's think about what the verbs are in this. You know, if you want to get down to what a verse means, look at the verbs. These verbs are transitive, they're action. Return. It's kind of imperative. Return, return. Three times. Three times. Like I said, I do need help. Three times. Return, return. Return, return, return. Return, return, return. That we can, next verb, can gaze. Can gaze. Okay. The word return means turn back. Turn back. Turn back. Turn back. This is a call to revisit a former place. Turn back is come back here. Come back here. It's a call to revisit a former place. 3 times. Come back, come back, come back. Now, never in my life, as the Mukta would say, would I have ever thought of this as a call to revival. But it is. Come back, come back, come back. Return, return, return. Get back to your first love. Come back to where you were at some point before. Turn around, come back. And so this is a 3 times call to revisit a former place. And then the reason that is given for this, God is calling us to revisit former places in our lives. And so, well, I don't want to go back. You know, ain't nobody living on earth that doesn't want to go back in time any more than I do. I say it all the time. And I admonish people, don't daydream about the good old days. People were dying of typhoid back then. You know, don't be in that world. But when it comes to the heart, this call to get back to a place that previously held something more of God than what you're experiencing right now, that is the call of revival. That is the call to revival for the church, for the believers, because when we get back, when we get back to where He wants us to get back, to like today, He got me back. It didn't take 30 seconds of my brother Charlie saying the words he said to me that my heart, I was driving the car and I was fighting to be able to see to drive the car, my heart breaking. Get back, get back, get back to places of tenderness, to places of your first love, to places where God's having the reins of your heart was more important than anything you thought, where He was the number one, the all in all. The highest and the best. Get back. 3 times get back. But not get back so you can be somewhere cloistered in a room, though I am seriously studying monastic prayer communities like nobody's business. He doesn't want you cloistered in some little hiding place. The return, return, return is get back so we can look at you. Get back so we can gaze at you. My gaze, get back that we may gaze. Gaze is not just a word of let me look at you. Because, I mean, really, seriously, we look at each other more than we probably wish we did. Gaze is inner vision. Get back. Get back. Get back to a place of your first love in God so we, those of us that are calling for you, may gaze on you. So our inner vision can perceive what's going on in you. Get back to the place of your first love and tenderness, because that is the place where other people can observe what God is doing in your life, and it will spring hope in them. Your life, your reviving, your courage will give courage to others. Your hope coming alive will give hope coming alive to someone else. Your life will give life. And so get back so we can gaze on that. What's happened? What happened to you? Have you ever had anybody ask you, what happened to you? What happened to you? When I first came to know the Lord, and He filled me with His Holy Spirit, and I was breaking away from all the crazy stuff and all the crazy things and all the crazy people, I had everybody saying, what happened to you? What happened to you? And then I would say, well, the Lord made me alive. I was like you knew me last week. And then I had an encounter with Jesus, and now I am like I am right now that you're saying, what happened to you? And so this is what God wants to do in people's lives. He doesn't want us to be good. It's not about good or bad. It's about dead or alive. It's not about good or bad. It's about dead or alive. It's about let God life you. And when he lifes you, get back where someone can see that life and someone can gaze on you and see, and the people around you can say, what happened to you? What is this about you? What is this life? What is this? That's what the Shulamite, her whole return, was not return so we can see what your gown is like. You have the most gorgeous dancing dress. We talked a little bit about dresses in prayer today. You have the most gorgeous dancing dress. I love the way you dance. You know, one of my favorite songs on the earth is Dancing Queen. It's from back in the disco days. I love that song, Dancing Queen. I had to go back through it and see, because Visha said, no, ain't nothing bad in it. So I had to verify there's nothing bad in it. It's just about, we just want to look at this person who just loves to dance. It's not about that. There's an inner vision in this gazing. That when God is working in your life, you may think, well, you know, so what's the big deal? God's working in my life. If I go forward and say, yes, I want to be a part of the real live church. It's not Gingham Dog and Calico Cat, First Church of the Head of Spat. Do you know the poem, The Gingham Dog and the Calico Cat? Side by side on the table set. It was 12:30, and what do you think? Nor one nor the other had slept a wink. The old Dutch clock and the Chinese plate appeared to know, as sure as fate, that there was going to be a terrible spat. And so the whole poem is about how they ate each other up. So the next morning, they couldn't find any remains of either one of them. I love that analogy of church. Like, what happened to those people? It was the Gingham Dog and the Calico Cat church. They just ate each other up. They spatted and disagreed and argued until they ate each other up and there was just nothing left. Well, we said, no, we don't want to be in that. We don't want to be in that. We want something in us, working in us by the Holy Spirit, that people would want to gaze on it. So what is this? What's happening in you? What is this life in you? I want that. I want that. The same word and concept is in Isaiah 33, which is one of my favorite scriptures, among my 36 favorite scriptures. Isaiah 33:14. This is what we have when we're gazable. When we're gazing material, Isaiah 43:14. When God is moving in revival, he makes you gazable. Object of gazing. And also able to gaze. He gives you inner vision. Quickens you to see the things of God that eye hadn't seen and ear hadn't heard. And then he makes you alive in him in a way that others can see what you're doing and perceive that God is with you, God is in you. Yes, Will. Verse 14 of Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33 is a great chapter for us to just read and study at this point in time. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. I want to tell you, a little fear has hit every area of my life where I feel I'm hypocritical. And I'm like, oh God, that's hypocritical. Well, that's hypocritical. And I've had a couple of people say, Jane, that's hypocritical. So I always have lots of help. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us can dwell with this devouring fire? This is revival. Who among us can dwell with this devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with these everlasting burnings? Because when God comes in revival, he sends a spirit of grace. He sends a spirit of supplication. He sends a spirit of judgment. And he sends a spirit of burning. So who can abide with these burnings? There's a furnace going on. He who walks uprightly in it says, okay, if you'll just quit being a hypocrite or a liar. He who walks uprightly, I got to have some water. No, I promise you, I've not been drinking. I've been drinking from the well. Who was that? Carmen had the song, I've been drinking from the well. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, like nope, no thank you, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks, and bread will be given to him, and his water will be sure. Well, now that's a good promise if we let the burnings set us right. But your eyes will see. Your eyes will see the king and his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off. Your heart will meditate on terror. Where is the scribe and where is he who weighs, he who counts towers, he who counts and measures things? You will not see a fierce people. You will a people of obscure speech, beyond perception, of a stammering tongue that no one can understand. Look upon Zion and the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tabernacle that will not be taken down. Not one of its stakes will ever be removed, nor any of its cords be broken. For there the majestic Lord will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams in which no galley with oars will sail. Nobody striving will be in that water. Oh, Jesus delivers from strife. Nor majestic ships pass by. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king, and he will save us. Then it goes on and says the lame will take the prey. So this is in reviving times. God comes with this burning, and the end result of that is we're going to gaze. And what we see in our gazing is we see the king and his majesty. We see him ripping us away from oppression and harshness and mean stuff. And we see him delivering and the lame taking. We can see things far off. It's great to be able to see in the natural. I love my eyes. You know, I had a problem with my eyes, with my eye. I don't remember. Maybe it's been 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever. I had a vitreous tear. All of a sudden, one day, it was like a big black cockroach walked across the bottom of my vision. I was mortified because I love my eyes. I was on the phone to the eye clinic in Johnson City. I'm like, somebody's got to wait for me there. I've got to see the doctor right now. Something's wrong with my eye. And I'm telling them, I love my eyes. So one of the doctors waited till I got there because it was the end of the day and told me that the vitreous fluid on my retina had pulled loose and that I was at risk of having a tear, my retina just tear loose. So I did everything they said, every little stinking thing. And it healed and my retina did not tear. It's not that I protect my outward vision. I carry on more about my outward vision than I ever do my inner vision. And what God is giving us is this inner vision. Vision that can see afar off. I want you to note in that scripture in Isaiah when they had this burning and this working of revival and the putting away of hypocrisy and all of those things, that they saw the king before they saw afar off. If you're after vision more than you're after seeing the king, you'll see things far off, but you wish you hadn't seen them before it's all said and done. Because everything you see afar off, you want to see after you've seen the King and been beholding him and in his presence and gazing on him. Because that's like, that's the vision in the invisible world, not the natural vision. So he wants to work in us, to revive us and make us burning and on fire, and call us back to places where we have been so other people can gaze on us. That's his goal. But then in us, he wants to call us back to places where we have been, cut hypocrisy off of us, put the spirit of burning like a furnace in us, so we can gaze on him. Well, they're gazing on us and seeing God's doing something in you, coming alive. What's going on in you? We're gazing on him. And as we gaze on him and we see, oh my goodness, he's going to be to me like a place of broad rivers, and there's no boat going to be out there striving like those boats at Yale and Ivy League schools where they do the rowing, and there's like 55,000 people in there, and oars flying everywhere where they're doing the rowing, stirring up the waters. He's going to be to us great places of great peace. So while they're gazing on us because he set us on fire and cut hypocrisy far away, we're gazing on him. While we're gazing on him, our eyes will see things far off. Which takes us back to our little Shulamite, the pet name, my peaceful. So at the end of Song of Solomon 6:13, it says that, it says, what do you see in the Shulamite? Gazing, what do you see in the Shulamite? I think that's a nice question. We're always talking about, oh, the Shulamite, she looked so good, she was so awesome, and he described her so, oh my gosh, what a description. And so they say, what do you see in the Shulamite? And then answer the question. Well, this gorgeous, peaceful thing. We see two armies. We see two armies dancing together. Here's how it came to me today about the Shulamite on an individual basis. God wants to bring us to a place of beholding him, loving him, coming to the place of our first love, hanging on there, letting the furnace of his burning keep working on us, not letting us buy with anything. And so when people are gazing on Jane, they're like gazing on her. They probably wouldn't call me my peaceful. They would call me my heavens. Well, I don't know what I'd be called, but my first name, Barbara, means barbarian, so maybe my barbarian. I don't know. But while they're gazing on me, what are they seeing? What do you see there? God wants to bring us to the place where where he's fixing our gaze in the other world. And he's fixing the world people around us gaze on us. That they will begin to see us dancing with the heavens. Because this little girl was dancing with a heavenly camp. And so the dance of two camps was when Jacob came and the angel camp was there. And Elisha, when his servant was like, oh God, what what's going on here? He said, oh, no, Elijah, open the eyes of the servant so he could see that the heavens, he saw the other camp. He saw the armies of God. And so God wants to work in us, and when he's working in us in revival, it's not just to make us feel like little revived people so we can sit around and feel revived. He wants an exchange between ourselves and heaven in a way that is so meaningful that the people around us will go, what is that? What is that? What is that? It's like she's here, she's in heaven. She's here, but she's in heaven. She's here, but she's in heaven. What is this dance that nothing can best her? What is this that the enemy may come in like a flood, but whoa, what is this? That the Spirit of the Lord is raising up some kind of a dance that then they're just dancing right out of that flood and walking on top of it and moving on. And well, no, they didn't die. Well, no, they didn't go broke. Well, no, they didn't this. Or well, what happened? Well, I thought that things were turning out bad for you. Well, how did that? Well, it was a dance with an angel. Because in our hearts and in prayer, what God has for us as his bride and as his persons, his peaceful ones, he has this blessing where we will have on earth walking in what we see in the heavens, so that our eyes will be open and we'll see the other camp. And not only see the other camp, but in the dance of Mahanaim, it is a dance that is a victory of two camps uniting. It is a dance of reconciliation and a dance of victory that two camps unite. And God wants to move on us in a way that the camp of heaven will be united with this camp on earth, and that there will be a dance of reconciliation and victory, that we are united with a heavenly, angelic camp. And we're in a work where we're like not, you know, like waiting to see, is there going to an angel do this or an angel going to do that? Our eyes are going to see far off. We're going to know what God is doing and how to move with it and how to work with it, what to say and when to move and where to go. And we're going to have awareness, not just that I'm reading a verse and telling you there's another camp, that you say, oh, yeah, there's another camp. That makes sense. Yeah, yeah, there's angels and yeah, yeah. Wherever the body of Christ is gathered, wherever the peaceful ones are, my peaceful, wherever the ones are that he's put in the spirit of burning, wherever the ones are that will gaze on him, that have other people gazing on them, wherever they are, the other camp is there. The other camp is there. The presence of the angels of God is here. He is with us, and they are with us. We are not alone. So I think, oh, an angel came up, slapped me on the arm, and well, hey, I don't know. I know angels. Judy was telling a story the other night about how you could feel them brushing through the crowd, and I've been in the presence of an angel. I know the otherworldly, take your breath away sense of the presence of an angel. But God wants to make that be what is motivating our movement. When you think of dance, what do you think of when you think of dance? Dance is not about contemplation. I was dancing in my cerebellum. My prefrontal cortex was dancing. Dance is about movement. And very often, dance is about antiphonal movement. It's about a movement and an answer to a movement. In the way we understand dance, like if you're doing a waltz or something, you've got movement and counter movement. And so, but in how dances are with God's angels, I don't know. We're just learning that. I don't know. We're just learning that. So, you know, don't be thinking, oh, well, we got to get up here and dance with each other in waltzes and pretend the other one's an angel. No, man, I'm telling you, angels are going to be dancing us around. We're going to be like dancing into circumstances and dancing through circumstances and swirling and twirling and dancing out of circumstances and coming out on the other side and say, how'd you do that? Do you remember that? It's a commercial on TV. I think it's some Chevrolet company. How they do that? Champion Chevrolet. Oh, every time the guy does that, he goes, "How they do that?" I go, "How they do that?" Because that is what's going to be said of the church. How they do that? That's what it is for revival, for the moving, for the burning, for the drawing. It is for wonderful things. It is for things far off. It is for inner vision and eyes to see spiritual things. Your eyes will see the King in His beauty. You're going to behold things far off. That's what it means to be the girl in the Song of Songs at the end of the day. You're a king gazer. You're one that when he says, "Get back here." He said that to somebody I love not long ago. "Get back here. I want you, get back here. I want you back here. Get back here." And they did it. I don't think it would have been necessarily an easy thing to get back there to. Oh, God. He said that to more than one of us. "You get back here. I'm not done with you here yet. Get back here. I want to work in you in a more fiery way. I want you to be my burning ones. I want you to be the object of gazing." Oh, my goodness. Kim was just telling me about a game to play on her phone. She's playing a game on her phone. She wouldn't even look up at me and talk to me. I thought, what's wrong with her? Have I made her mad? And she said, I'd finish this game. And it was a game where, like in a city, it's some kind of called crowd something, that when you're in the city, if you touch somebody, then they start following you. And then you try to get as many people to follow you as fast as you can. I think that is so cool. Except in the kingdom of God, that is what we're to do on the earth. We're to gaze, so they will gaze. And while they gaze, we continue to gaze. While we're gazing, we don't try to check out how they're gazing. And do they like what they see while they're gazing? We're gazing. That's what he's calling us to. To be able to dance the victorious dance of reconciliation with the angel camp. And I believe you, Father, with every touch of reconciliation that I make with any person that has angst toward me, or any person that I've offended, or any person offended toward me in any way. I believe you, Poppy, as I make that reconciliation, that there's angel reconciliation going on, that you're reconciling my steps and my move to the second camp and the other camp, and that you will give me more ability to gaze on you and see what's in the heavens and see far off and see what you have, what you want, what is your heart, what is your desire to burn and wake up in me every prophetic gift that's been put in me by the laying on of hands of some awesome prophets. Do what you do, Father. You got to do that. I can't cook that up. I'm not even inclined for cooking up. But you, Lord. And I ask you by your Holy Spirit to engage us more and more and more in words and activities and interactions with each other that will bring deeper and stronger and more powerful reconciliation and love in this body and with people that we love. That you will do wonders, Lord. And that you will make us to be these that dance this angel dance. I do love to dance. But I don't even know if an angel dance is actually like an actual dance. It might look like Elaine Bettis dancing. Did you ever watch Seinfeld? It just might look like the worst dancer on the earth dancing. We don't know. It may not be wonderful. It might be. We don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Give us revelation, Lord. You said to me today, I love your eyes, Jane. You've got revelation in your eyes. And Lord, I say to you, I love your eyes, Father. I love your eyes, Lord Jesus. You've got revelation in your eyes. And I pray to every one of us, you'll fill us with light, that you'll fill us with revelation of your heart and your desire and your hunger and your longing, and that the anointing that destroys every yoke will be in this house, and every yoke will be broken. Every chain, I hear those chains falling. Every chain falling, every chain, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I love y'all.